Our next case for argument is 22-1012, In Re Google. Mr. Ghosh?
May it please the Court. This is an appeal of an obviousness decision based on a factual finding for which there is no evidence in the record. The Board found that using the query length as a threshold is very well known in the art, but nothing in the record supports that finding, including the Board's only citation for that point, the Rose reference. Rose does not use a threshold value of any kind, Rose does not calculate any type of score for an entire search query, and Rose has nothing to do with content filtering, which is the subject of Google's application. Therefore, there's no evidence in the record that the person of skill in the art would or even could have combined Parthasarathi and Rose. Instead of defending the Board's finding, on appeal, the PTO has pivoted largely to a new theory that the claimed modification would have been, quote, obvious to try. This is a new argument on appeal, for all the reasons that we've explained in our reply brief, and as such, it violates fundamental principles of administrative law. The Board made a decision, and on appeal, the PTO is obligated to stick to the reasons that the Board gave for its decision. And by not doing so, the PTO has gone against the APA and the dictates of the
Court. Can I ask about that? I understood, they didn't use the term obvious to try, but they could have, they didn't necessarily have to do that. There's more to obvious to try. It's like these were the limited number of design choices, yada-da. And I didn't see the Board getting involved in that either. So it wasn't, am I correct, that it wasn't just they didn't say obvious to try. They didn't do any of the analysis that would come in behind that with respect to limited design choices and so forth.
Right? Correct, Your Honor. Yes. And that gets to a second issue with what the PTO has done in appeal, which is that whether there are a limited set of design choices is itself a factual finding that the Board never made. And so the PTO is resting here on a completely new legal argument based on completely new factual premises that the Board never developed.
So what about what the Board did develop? You mentioned one, which is where you claim it was an error for them to say that this was in the prior art. Was there anything more to the Board's analysis beyond that?
Essentially, no. The Board's analysis appeared to assume that the score that's described in Rose is the same, or essentially the same, as the content rating score disclaimed. But there's several key differences between the score that's described in Rose and the content rating score that is claimed in Google's invention. One is that the content rating score is a measure of whether a particular search query is appropriate for a particular user. The relevance ranking score in Rose is a completely different type of score. It's evaluating whether a particular search result is relevant to a particular search. And beyond that, the score in Google's application applies to an entire search query. And the relevance ranking scores in Rose are for a particular search result. So it's not so easy as the Board would have it to just say, well, if the score for a particular document were higher or lower, we could just adjust that score or adjust the threshold, because the threshold is applying across the entire universe of search results.
But it's not that far off, right? So the Board does have leeway applying common sense or something else, even if the reference isn't precisely, the combination of the reference doesn't precisely do it. So was there any effort for the Board to sort of rely on how they got to making that leap?
No, Your Honor. I would agree with you that the Board would have been entitled to rely perhaps on common sense, but as this Court has said in the Rendi decision, among others, the Board has to explain why common sense would have led a person of skill in the art to make the leap that the PTO now suggests for the first time on appeal, really. And there's nothing in the record to say that to explain how someone would have adapted the relevance ranking score algorithm in Rose into the content rating threshold that's described in Parthasarathi.
Can I ask you a housekeeping question, which is that we're talking about Claim 1, but that it also covers 3 through 10, 12 through 19, and 21 through 27 are all covered by this analysis here with respect to Claim 1?
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, we agree that Claim 1 is representative of the issues.
Counsel, one of the things that I think you argued, and I'd like you to touch upon, is The examiner found that using a query length as a threshold is very well known in the art, but it seemed to me to be an assertion. I was going through the entire record, and I couldn't find anything. Certainly, neither the examiner nor the board cited anything to demonstrate something's very well known. Do we defer to an examiner's sort of assertion that something is either known in the art or well known in the art in the absence of any sort of evidence presented, or is that something that we ought not do?
We would suggest that's something that Your Honors ought not do, and I think that requirement stems from administrative law. As we said in many instances in our briefing, that the board and the examiner have an obligation under the APA to explain the basis for their decisions. If the board finds that something is very well known in the art, it has the obligation to explain, to permit appellate review, to explain why it is very well known in the art. And in fact, the board did.
So we shouldn't treat the examiner as an expert who offers their own testimony?
The examiner does have expertise, obviously, in patent law, and perhaps has some expertise in the level of skill in the art. But the statement that something that is not immediately, that is not a matter of, you know, public record, that's a statement that something like that is very well known in the art, I think requires some citation or some explanation of why that's so. And to be fair, the examiner here and the board did cite one thing for that proposition, and that
Rose.
Rose,
yeah,
which
Rose
doesn't say that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything further?
I did want to explain a little bit about the distinction between content rating and relevance ranking. And I touched on this earlier. Content rating has to do with whether the results for a query are appropriate for a particular user. Relevance ranking has to do with whether the results for a query are relevant to the particular query. And I just want to note that this is not a distinction that's coming up for the first time on appeal. This is intrinsic in both the claims of the application and in Barthasarathy. Google's claims separately describe a, quote, content rating score associated with a search query, and then a weight that's associated with each search result. And similarly, Barthasarathy at paragraphs 35, 39, and 42 distinguishes between analysis of a search query and an analysis of search results. And in particular, in each of the embodiments in Barthasarathy, there's a separate, quote, rank assigned by a ranking component, and a, quote, identifier indicating whether a search result contains adult content.
Finish your thought.
That was the end of my thought.
Okay. Just let me ask you another kind of hypothetical housekeeping sort of matter. I mean, you're asking for a reversal here based on this opinion, but given that one of your arguments is sort of the Chenery APA kind of argument, why is it not necessary for us, in your view, to remand this case to give the board another opportunity to provide the meat on the bones or the explanation you're seeking?
We think that this is a case like the ones we cited in our briefs where there's no other conclusion that could be drawn from the record. If Your Honors were inclined to give the board another shot at it.
When you say give the board another shot, this is original examination, right?
Correct.
This isn't an IPR.
Correct.
We can't order the issuance of a patent, correct?
Correct.
So all we can do is vacate and send this back. I mean, we can't give you more relief than that, can we? What is it you think we can give you?
If Your Honors were to reverse, I think what Your Honors could give us is an explanation of why Rose and Barthasarathy combined don't disclose what the examiner and the board found that they did. And in our view, that decision is not only unsupported, or not only did the board fail to provide sufficient support for that decision, there's no support that it could have provided because Rose and Barthasarathy don't say what the board and examiner found that they say. And if Your Honors were to reverse that decision...
No, one of your arguments seems to be that the red brief makes a lot of new assertions on appeal.
Yes, Your Honor.
And if that's the case, why isn't there the possibility... Maybe we agree with you. These are new, and these are not the rationales the board articulated, but they could be on remand, so why would I reverse that?
In particular, when it comes to the obvious to try arguments, obviously I agree with Your Honor that they're new and that the board never articulated a factual basis, or the examiner didn't either.
You can't agree with me that they're new. I started by saying it's your argument that they're new.
Correct.
So you're agreeing with yourself is what you're doing.
Yes, I am agreeing with myself that they're new. But what I'll note is that not only are they new, they're also incorrect for the reasons that we gave in a reply brief. They all really beg the question.
But these are new arguments about what a piece of prior art discloses. That feels like a something I can't do on appeal, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound an awful lot like a fact-finding? Me addressing a new argument about what a piece of prior art does or doesn't teach?
That is a factual issue. What a piece of prior art does or doesn't teach is a factual issue. But I would suggest, Your Honor, that the board and the examiner spent years explaining what they thought that the prior art didn't teach, and they fundamentally got it wrong. It's not clear to us what remanding for the board or for the examiner to take another shot at it would accomplish in terms of these particular references. Now, if Your Honors were to remand, the examiner could come up with other references, and we obviously can't take a position on that. But in the particular context of the obviously try arguments, they're repeating the same mistakes. The PTO on appeal is repeating the same mistakes that the board has made and the examiner made for years. I see I'm into my rebuttal time, so I'll save the rest of my time.
Very good. Okay, let's hear from the government. Mr. McBride.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. Judge Prost, you made a good observation when you noticed that the prior art here is not that far off from the claimed invention. It's undisputed that Parthas Rathi.
Did I say that?
You said it's not that far off. I think that's a good observation because it's undisputed that Parthas Rathi here discloses almost all the limitations except for a predetermined threshold value that's based on query length. Now,
So why don't we get to the heart of the question that raised by the chief and by the citation to reference to it's in the prior art, i.e. Rose. I don't think you tried to defend that really hard in your brief. You seem to come up with other reasons not articulated by the board, like obvious to try. So I'm making that statement. Tell me if I'm wrong, if you disagree with my observation that is not something you can defend and that you turned the tables and came up with something the board didn't do. Am I right or wrong?
So I would two parts. With the obviousness to try argument, I think that's the exact rationale that the examiner and the board used. And we can start with this. If you look at APPX 478, this is the examiner's answer. The examiner, appellant had made this exact argument that the combination, that no reference by itself teaches modifying the threshold value to account for query length. And in response, at the bottom of page 478, the examiner says, when a work is available in one field of endeavor, design incentives and marking forces can prompt variations of it, either in the same field or a different one. If a skilled artisan can implement a predictable variation, 103 bars its patentability. For the same reason, if a technique has been used to improve one device, a person of skill in the art would recognize that it would improve similar devices in the same way using the same technique. And it's citing specifically to KSR. In KSR, this was the whole context. It said this was an obvious to try analysis. Now, the board didn't use the exact words obvious to try, but if you read these quotes from KSR...
My problem is I see a fundamental disconnect between what the examiner did and what the board did, and then a later disconnect between what you're arguing. But if you looked, you just directed us to 478, 479. On page 479, it's quite clear that the examiner is using Rose's number of words as the threshold to which... how do you pronounce the other one?
Parthasarathi? Parthasarathi.
Okay, Parthasarathi. It's quite clear the examiner is using the number of words from Rose as the threshold. So Rose is providing the threshold. That's what the examiner is using, right?
So I back up one step. So I disagree on one point. So I think what's happening here, the examiner is actually saying at the top of 479, Parthasarathi discloses the limitations, but does not disclose a threshold. Parthasarathi has a threshold. It's just not based on query length. Okay? So it's saying rows is missing a threshold value that's based on query length, and then it says rows actually says you can use query lengths to determine a value. And rows is using it to boost the relevance ranking. Okay?
I'm confused. Are you disagreeing with the following? The examiner found using rows' number of words as the threshold to which Partha Sarathi's different scores compared. Do you disagree with that?
I don't think so. Where are you reading this from?
I'm characterizing page 479 for you.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry, what was the characterization?
That the examiner found that he was using Rose's number of words as the threshold to which Partha Sarathi's different score is then compared. So Rose is providing the threshold element for these claims.
I think it's a little different. I think what he's saying is Rose uses the number of words included in the search query.
Okay, let's read from page 479. Therefore, it would have been obvious to a person having ordinary skill in the art to combine the applied references and use the technique of calculating a value based on the number of words included in the search query as taught by Rose as a configurable threshold value.
Right.
To which a different score is compared, as taught by Partha Sarathi.
Right.
So what am I missing? Rose is the threshold. Rose is from where we gather the threshold element of these claims.
So my reading of this paragraph is it says you use the teaching of the technique of calculating a value, which it says up here, Rose uses it to calculate the relevant score, and use that value based on the number of words.
So you're saying my characterization of the examiner's finding here is incorrect?
Well, I just bear with me, because it says use that teaching of, as taught by Rose.
Can I have a yes or no? Is my understanding of my interpretation of what I just read, which is pretty much what I just read, incorrect?
I'll get there in just a sec. I'm sorry. I think it, under my reading of this, it might be a little...
Okay, well then let's look at page 428 so that you can be clear about what I'm saying. Page 428 is also from the examiner. And in this, in the last sentence on page 428, I'll give you a second to get there. Please read for me out loud the last sentence on page 428 from the examiner.
Okay, so 428, the second to last sentence.
No, the last sentence, Rose, the one that
begins. Rose is relied on for the analyzing the search query for determining the query length and using the query length as a threshold for relevancy comparison.
So where are we getting the threshold from, according to the examiner?
So
where did the examiner find the threshold? From what reference did he or she, I don't know which it is, identify the threshold?
The threshold limitation, he got it from combining both Partha Sarathi's threshold value.
Is Partha Sarathi mentioned there in that sentence? Because he says, Rose is relied on for analyzing the search query, for determining the query length, and using the query length as a threshold. That combined with 479, where he also, again, relies on Rose as providing the evidence of the threshold. I don't see how these two passages could be understood otherwise.
So let me just try it, and I'm not doing a very good job at this, so let me just try again. So if we go back to 479.
I think you're doing a very good job because you want to say that the examiner found something different than what he actually found.
Yeah, so I think what happens here, if you read this explanation, the board is saying Partha Sarathi does not teach the threshold value. Based on a query length. It says Rose teaches using query length as a factor to calculate a value, a relevance ranking score value. And then in this bottom paragraph, the examiner says it would have been obvious to a person of skill in the art to use the technique of calculating a value based on the number of words included in the search query as taught by Rose as a threshold to which a different score is compared as taught by Partha Sarathi. It's talking about the configurable threshold value as taught by Partha Sarathi. So it seems to me that the examiner and what the board did was they recognized Partha Sarathi's missing the query length, and it says it would have been obvious to use the query length as taught by Rose to use it as a configurable threshold value as taught by Partha Sarathi.
Where does it say the configurable threshold value?
This is
says to which a different score is compared as taught by Parthasarathy.
Because Parthasarathy teaches having a relevant score.
How do you reconcile that with your view of that with page 428? 428, he never mentions Parthasarathy. He says clearly, Rose is relied on for the threshold.
So that might have been an artful way of wording it, because that was in the final office action. Okay.
A relevant piece of evidence.
No, it certainly is relevant. But the applicant, in response to that final office action, they made this argument, and then here the examiner is responding to that argument, and they're clarifying what they're saying here. Okay.
So on appendix page 9 of the board's opinion, and I think this is why I'm just so confused, on appendix page 9 of the board's opinion, the board found, it says, because it doesn't make its own independent determination, it says, we agree with the examiner that in view of Parthasarathy's thresholds, one skilled in the art would have reason to modify Parthasarathy's threshold values to take into account query length as taught by Rose. And I thought to myself, what reason? Because that's not actually the combination the examiner articulated in the two pages I just read you. You seem to think it is. I really don't think it is. And so we agree with the examiner there would be reason to modify something. Well, you can only do that if you're actually agreeing with the same thing the examiner said. And it doesn't seem... It seems like the board and the examiner sort of started from the opposite reference when it comes to the threshold element.
Yeah, and I agree this is not a perfect explanation, okay? Luckily, this court has said in Nuvasiv, this court doesn't require perfect explanations. As long as you can discern the path that was followed and determine that it was a proper path.
But I can't discern the path because the board didn't give a reason to modify, and the thing that they said they were combining, that they were relying on the examiner's reason, it's not the same thing. The examiner used Rose's threshold. The board is talking about Parthasarathy's threshold.
Right.
So I can't use whatever examiner modification reason there was because you're not even doing the same comparison.
Yeah, I think the disconnect is, and that passage on 479, the board adopted this. The examiner said they're using Rose's query length to account for the query length in Rose's threshold. Because there's only two ways to account for query length. You can account for it by boosting your relevance score, and then when you boost your relevance score, your threshold stays the same. You're going to make that comparison. Or, as the examiner and the board said, you could keep that threshold or keep the relevance ranking the same and modify the threshold value. So the relative comparison is going to be the same. There's only two ways to do it. That's a finite number of ways to do it. It's a predictable result. There's no evidence or assertion of secondary considerations or unexpected results.
So what about that other issue that I was discussing with Mr. Ghosh? You think it's okay for an examiner to just say something is very well known in the art without citing anything and that should be accepted?
No, I don't think so. And I don't think that's what was done in this case. I think the examiner's statement that using a threshold value based on query length was well known in the art was a misstatement. I think what the examiner meant, if you read that in context, they're basically making it clear. Parthasarathy does not disclose a threshold value based on query length. Then they go on to say, Rose discloses query length to boost your relevance ranking score. And if you put those two together, it would be obvious as a matter of design choice.
You're here on appeal telling us how you would reinterpret something or change or put in context the meaning of the examiner. Did the board do that? The board didn't try to clean up any of that, did it?
Well,
what the examiner said and erased it, right?
So I'd also point out when the board made that one phrase.
Why don't you answer my question first? Am I correct in my observation that the board didn't try to illuminate or correct or restate or clarify what the examiner said in regard the way you have just done to us on appeal?
I think what the board did, the board focused on, the examiner gave two other reasons why it would be obvious to
Can
make this
Can you answer her question?
Yeah. Am I correct?
The board didn't really say a lot about that one.
So they did not try to clarify what you, I think, initially agreed was not a correct statement by the examiner, but tried to recast it. The board didn't do any of that. They just embraced what the examiner said.
Right? I think what the board did, they didn't clarify that one thing.
You want a yes or no answer.
So I'm agreeing with you.
Explain it, but so, am I right?
They didn't. Yes, you're right. They didn't clarify that one phrase where they said, you know, it's well known in the art to use a threshold value.
And they didn't distance themselves in any way from that statement.
What they did do, though, the examiner gave two other reasons for making this combination. They said it would be obvious to make this combination
Counsel,
to account for query length.
Or did not the board say, unless otherwise indicated, we adopt the findings, the examiner's findings in the final office action answer as our own and any additional findings of fact for emphasis?
They did.
Okay.
Yes.
Then on the same exact page, did they say, and quote specifically, the examiner's statement that analyzing a query for determining the query length and using the query length as a threshold is very well known in the art.
Very well known in the art, and doing so would further provide for assigning weight to a long or short query length. So I would agree with you, they adopted it. That statement is there. It is a little confusing. I think you could characterize it as a misstatement. It would have been better, I think, if the board, you know, explain that a little bit better. It's not a perfect explanation, but it does say, and doing so would further provide for assigning weight to a long or short query length. And then there's another motivation where they talk about, this is also in the board's decision on page A8, they say, and this is italicized on page 8, appendix page 8, it would have been obvious to a person having ordinary skill in the art to use the technique of calculating a value based on the number of words in a query and use the value as a configurable threshold to which a different score is compared in Parthasarathi to achieve the predictable result of influencing the selection of documents and search results for presentation. And that's what these claims are all about. In both Rose and Parthasarathi, you want to influence the search results by counting.
Before your time runs out, I just want to ask you a question what we discussed with your friend, which is if we disagree with you, if we disagree with the this being prior art, if we disagreed, it was obvious to try, that would typically warrant a reversal. What say you on terms of vacate and remand, reversal and remand, what position, taking my predicate that we think the board got it wrong here?
If you think the board got it wrong because their explanation here is inadequate, I think it would be proper for this court to remand to...
Well, is it so what's the difference, whether we think what they said was inadequate or what we think what they said and relied on was wrong, whether it's under de novo or substantial evidence standard, that their reading of the references, et cetera, was wrong?
If you think that it's completely wrong and there's no way to combine these references as the board and the examiner did...
Well, based on the record that exists now. So are we obligated to give them another try, another chance to either re-explain what they did or come up with new arguments that weren't used by the examiner in the first instance?
In that situation, I think it would be proper to vacate the decision to give the examiner and the board to correct any deficiencies, and who knows based on what this court says what they might come out with, but I think it would be proper to give them a chance to look at it again and make any new factual findings if they're warranted.
A proper, compelled, necessary? I mean, is there necessary? As the chief pointed out, they're the ones that are going to issue the patent. Is there anything that would preclude us from just saying they had their chance, been a number of years, everything they said was wrong, we disagree with the way they read the prior art references, etc. Done. Reverse and remand. For issuance. So we have the authority to do that?
Well, I don't think you can direct the PTO to issue a patent necessarily. I think you could certainly make some statements that based on the record here, there's no motivation to combine. The teachings that you relied on are incorrect interpretations of what the records teach. There's no substantial evidence to support those findings. I think you could make statements like that on the remand for the board and the examiner to take account of.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McBride.
Thank you.
Mr. Ghosh will add 2 minutes to your rebuttal time because we went longer with Mr. McBride.
Thank you, Your Honors. I will be brief. Just as to the point that Your Honors are focusing on in the board's decision about the board's adoption of the examiner's findings, one thing I'll note here is that not only did the board quote this finding that analyzing a query for determining the query length and using the query length as a threshold is very well known in the art, the board added its own emphasis to that. So that is a finding that the board didn't just brush under the rug. It quoted in its decision, it emphasized it, and clearly it thought that that was the basis for, at least part of the basis for the decision. And going further on to the sentence that Chief Judge Moore was focusing on at Appendix 9.
Before you go on, sure. Let me just say, this is the difficulty with me in terms of vacating or reversing. I don't think an examiner can say something that's very well known in the art when, for example, the patent doesn't say something like that in the background section, or I think that sort of in the absence of pointing to anything, it's probably not okay for the examiner to do that. But for all I know, there's a million things the examiner could point to substantiate that statement. And that's why I don't know at what point do we say, you've had enough tries, reverse, or do we say vacate and remand?
Your Honor, in our view, a reversal would apply to this combination of references. If Your Honors were to reverse and remand, then and explain why Parthasarathy and Rose don't disclose what the board and examiner found that they disclose, then the board would have to, and the examiner would have to go back and do that work and find something that does disclose that. But in the absence of that factual finding with respect to Parthasarathy and Rose, I think Your Honors can reverse and say that, no, you've had the chances, we've read the references, and they don't say what you have said at various times that they say.
Okay, but I was focused on the whether something was well known in the art
Correct.
Or not part, and that, it seems to me, is something the examiner could cure on remand.
Yes, Your Honor, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that the way
you don't want me to base the decision only on that, because that could be cured. You want me to focus on something else.
Yes, but also the way that the examiner might cure that would be to cite the different references. I don't think there is any possibility that the examiner could cure that based on Parthasarathy and Rose alone, because for the reasons we've discussed, they don't say what the examiner said that they say.
But maybe the examiner could abandon the very well known in the art part and instead give some other motivation or something.
For the reasons we've said in our briefing, we don't think that there is a way to combine Parthasarathy and Rose, much less a motivation to combine them.
I know, the red brief was a lot better than the board opinion.
I'll give it that, Your Honor. But it's still not enough in our view, and for the reasons we explained in our reply brief. And I am out of time, so I'll unless you have any further questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
I thank both counsel. This case is taken under submission.